Tonight, in for Patty, we welcome host Brian Noonan. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Chicago, Illinois, here he is, the one and only Brian Noonan.
Thank God I'm the one and only. If there were any more of me, things would get very, very bad very, very quickly. Good morning. It's a truncated version of Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. I am Brian Noonan, in for Patty tonight. She will be back tomorrow. That's what I'm being told. So Patty will be back with you tomorrow. We're here until 2 o'clock. Then Nick DiGilio comes in. I'm dying to know if Esmeralda brought up any of the topics that we broached with Nick and Dan last night. We'll get to that in 1 second. I want to tell you that we love when you are involved in the program. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text line. And if you want to stay current with us on social media, it's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. We thought we were starting at midnight. Then we were told we were starting at 1 o'clock. Then I got a panicked call that we were starting at 12:30. So, hey, here we are, and we're happy to be here. Hello, Michael. Hello, Esmeralda.
Hey, Brian. What's going on, man?
Nothing.
Hi. Ready. Hey, did you talk to Dan at all about the feathers, and did you mention the roach clips to Nick?
No.
All right. Well, that was disappointing. I know Nick was right into TV as the show began last night. I'll tell you this, though, Esmeralda. I got a lot of, and this is going to be hard to believe, but I have no reason to lie. I got a lot of comments and emails about the roach clip conversation last night.
Good or bad?
Everybody loved it.
Or informational?
Both. All three. Well, not the bad. People were like, I can't believe you brought that up. I used to have them. I see them all the time. It was very funny. Tell Esmeralda, you know, you can still get them. So
make a note of it.
A lot of roach clip talk. And people very, very excited for the initial episode of Dadnark. So everybody's waiting for all of that to happen. I'm wondering, first, let's start with this. Has something from the past ever come back to bite you or embarrass you? I know you wanted to talk about this, Esmeralda, so I will talk about this. You know, when you're young and you do things, maybe now there's now with cameras everywhere, there's a lot of photographic and video evidence of things you did when you were younger that, you know, not illegal, but maybe embarrassing when you look back on them. And today on my Facebook page, and I'm going to have to change my settings. This is the lesson that I've learned today. I have to change my settings. Because a friend of mine from college posted a video on my Facebook page with the caption, "Why do I still have this?" And in the picture, in the initial frame, you will see in the middle a giant, very young Brian Noonan surrounded by two of his four brothers. On the left, I guess I could say their names because, you know, the video's out there and this was on TV. My brother Michael is on my right and my brother Dennis is on my left. So I'm in the middle. I'm the oldest. Dennis is number two and Michael is number three. It is on the stage of the Oprah Winfrey program, which was taped right here in Chicago. So, and this was sometime back in the early 90s.
You can tell.
Yeah, I don't think I was married yet. So it's, you know, maybe somewhere between, I'm guessing, 90 to 93, this was taped. Yeah, you can tell the fashion is phenomenal, isn't it? And the haircuts. My hair, you know what's frightening? My haircut has not changed at all in all these years.
Is there something shiny?
Those are two gray spots that I've had I was a teenager. And you can't really see them now because the gray has kind of taken over in a lot of spots. But yes, my hair was jet black except for those two spots. People would ask me if I had paint in my hair all the time.
Oh.
People thought a bird may have passed by me with some sort of intestinal distress. There was a lot of questioning of those two spots. But when you're, you know, late 20s, you don't think of the Grecian formula. I wasn't worried about it. Keith Hernandez was not showing up at my house mocking my hair. So I just let it go. But, yeah, I like the look. I also like the look where my head, and I see this in a lot of old pictures. When I'm sitting sometimes, I'll cock my head so it looks like I've had some sort of brain trauma. And that's what it looks like there. And somebody took a picture of me a couple weeks ago here in the studio. I was interviewing someone, and the way I was holding my left hand and sitting in the chair, it looked like I had had a stroke. I'm like, I have to be more cognizant of how I am at rest because it always looks like someone should be tending to me when I'm just sitting there. So what happened, how this came to be, and again, if you have something that has surfaced that you wish there was no photographic or video evidence of, please share. I don't think my misery should be the only one shared here on the program. 312-981-7200. So it was, as I mentioned, the early 90s. My brothers and I were going to see a taping of Oprah with our cousin. And I don't know why we were going to see a taping of Oprah. If I asked my brothers or my cousin, there would be no explanation.
This isn't even good Oprah.
No, this is just old, bad. Everything was bad.
Like Springer
about it.
Oprah.
Yeah. Did you see the two people sitting on the other end?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. So we get there, and ironically enough, we find out the topic. And again, honest to God, we had no idea what was happening. So we get there, and the topic is sibling rivalry. So we're all sitting in the audience waiting for the show to begin, and one of the producers comes out on stage. Are there any groups of siblings here that are willing to come on the program? Because some of our guests canceled. So we need some brothers or sisters or a group. And I don't know which one of my goofball brothers are like, yeah, we'll do it. So as you can see in the middle, I don't look very comfortable. And I'm a guy, that night I was performing at Zany's. I remember because I wore the same outfit to Zany's that night and somebody mocked it. I look like Frankenstein, quite frankly. I think that was a mock turtleneck under a black cardigan.
Right, I was going to say.
Sure. And I learned something very early on, Esmeralda. You know, last night we were talking about bad fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Mock turtlenecks and I do not, I despise them. Especially back then I was much jowlier than I am now.
I do think it's funny you all were wearing turtlenecks.
Sure. Well, that was, it was the early 90s and it was wintertime here in Chicago. You must keep your neck warm. Mine was a mock turtleneck because my personality mocks everything. So even a turtleneck is not safe from my mockery. So my brother says, yeah, let's go. They want us to come up with some sort of conflict. So the basic conflict was, you hear Oprah mention it, that we can't, like when we were young, every time we played football on the side of the house, it would devolve into some sort of fight. Which is kind of true. I have four brothers, and there was no peace to be had. It was like Lord of the Flies every day at our house. There was a pig's head in the backyard. It was, you could see who wore the glasses. He was, I don't want to say he was piggy, but let's just say he had the glasses. And so it was a rough, not rough in terms of, we were having to rob liquor stores to survive, but there was a lot of brother-on-brother crime. So they decided they were going to harvest that. They were going to dredge all that up. And at some point, I immediately realized this was not a good move for us to be up there. Because, listen, I had a public persona. No, I didn't. But I just knew it was bad. And you could see how uncomfortable my brother Dennis was. He just kind of sat there and said something under his breath, which Oprah heard and brought up. And Michael decided he was going to pontificate. Man, he had his moment in the limelight, and he was going to milk it for all it was worth. And he was airing all the dirty laundry. It was the most uncomfortable media experience I had until I had to take my shirt off on a sitcom when I was in Los Angeles. We did a fat guy who was going to take his shirt off. They call me in with like 20 other fat guys to audition, and I was, I guess, the least offensive fat guy that was willing to pull it, and I could pull the shirt off fast, because I always pretended I was on fire so I could get my clothing off really quick. That was my acting style. They don't teach that. That's not method. That's my own little thing. They don't teach that in the books, the acting books. How do I get my clothes off fast? You pretend you're on fire. So now I don't know how. Now, again, this is now let's call it 20 years ago that we did this. I don't know why this guy, my friend from college, had this lying around. He obviously didn't either, and why he then felt the need to post it. But he did, and now it's there for public mockery. But, that's all right. Trust me, I had not had any sort of head trauma back then. That's just how I sat. If I looked uncomfortable, it was because I was. Yes, those were plaid pants with the black cardigan, and lizard cowboy boots. That was my look back then. I know, Esmeralda. I'm not proud of it. We all live things down that we did in the past that may not have looked the best. And I will say, Oprah back then did not hang around to soothe you after you bared your soul on her program. She whisked in like she was some sort of queen, and then she was whisked out. So that was that. There was no interaction. You think she would have offered us a fruit basket or something for embarrassing ourselves on television. We got nothing.
Is there anything in the green room?
No. We didn't even really get in the green room because we were last-minute additions. So we were just brought backstage and grilled by a producer in the hallway and then brought on stage. And I forget what the other two humps at the end of the, you know, they had a brother-sister thing going on. I don't remember what that was. I blocked most of it out. I think somewhere in my basement up until we moved the last time, there was still a videotape of this performance. But there's certain things you don't want to see. Like, I've seen videotapes of my very first time doing stand-up, and it's painful. Not this painful. I've seen all kinds of things. But I have learned over the years that I have to, now I do make sure my head is not like, when I'm taking a picture. And if I've, and the other times I've been on TV, I do not look like I got a crick in my neck, as an old hillbilly would say. So
I'm glad you had to take something from it.
Sure. You learn from everything you do, Esmeralda. You learn from your successes and you learn from your failures. And then you move on. Or you dwell on it for 20 years. Somebody holds it and then tries to blackmail you with it. So then you just have to get out in front of it, as they say in the spin business. I'm getting out in front of this before I can be mocked endlessly, which I'll still be mocked endlessly, and I deserve to be mocked endlessly. I couldn't believe your glee that you wanted to talk about this so much tonight on the program.
One, the clip did not show what was
right,
being talked
about. What it was
about,
exactly.
And so I was really curious why you were on Oprah. just that. Like, what are you doing on Oprah?
We were all trying to find out who our dad was. It was a big pre-Maury paternity test. No, it was. And because my cousin came without, now my cousin Jimmy has three sisters. That's bad that I forget how many cousins. He has three sisters. They didn't come with us. This was like a boy's day out. And why would there be a boy's day? Again, the question in, you know, mid-February, why there's a boy's day out at the Oprah show.
Your brother with the turtleneck and sweater combo.
The bright sweater combo, yeah.
Just looks so, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something about it.
He's uncomfortable.
That outfit is.
It's, yeah, but you know what now? Now he's got one of those Matt Dillon in There's Something About Mary smiles. He had his teeth all done, so he smiles a lot more. Back then, he didn't smile. And he is probably one of the most fashion-forward guys you'd ever meet. Married, lives up in St. Paul, always dresses impeccably, sometimes a little too avant-garde for the rest of the Noonan brothers. So he does every once in a while receive a little bit of ribbing. Not so much for me, because I admire his sense of fashion. But yeah, back then. But those sweaters, that was Cosby time. Before we knew that Cosby was, you know, a pervert.
Right. No, I used to wear that combo as well.
Yeah, everybody wore the turtleneck and the big sweater. Thank God they're gone. My wife used to wear them all the time too. The turtleneck and the big sweater and the stirrup pants.
Oh, yeah.
I hated those stirrup pants. Oh, my goodness. Hated them. And every woman wore them. Every woman wore them. That was when guys wore Zubas and the women wore stirrup pants. And we wanted nothing confining our growing waistlines. We just wanted to be able to just sit and eat tubs of butter and just get bigger and bigger and just, hey, our pants are still loose.
Right. We also don't want them riding up our legs.
Right.
That's what the stirrup part
sure.
was for.
Of course. And now everybody's wearing the yoga pants that are up in the mid-calf anyway. So what are you going to do? I don't know. But I would like to hear. I can't be the only one who's had something come back to haunt them, such as this. So if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. After 1 o'clock, I'm a big believer in music education in schools, and we are going to deal with that a little bit. One of the co-founders of Keep Music Alive is going to join us to talk about a big event that's coming up next week. So we'll do that, but we'll talk to you and you know, let Esmeralda mock me a little bit more on the other side. It's WGN. All right. talking about the past coming back to embarrass you. I believe the perpetrator of the crime, which I say in air quotes, could be on the phone right now. It's a 323 area code, so I know that's Los Angeles. The name is John. I'm guessing I know the last name as well. Hi, John.
Hi. Yes, I it's me. I just want to start by apologizing. I wasn't sure if it was the right thing to do, but I always figured you could untag and delete if you really wanted to.
That's right. No, listen, it was it helped me with show prep tonight. I was like, oh, the first segment is done. We can, especially when Esmeralda was like, you have to talk about this on the air. So no,
sure,
I nothing
later,
to apologize.
You can use me as a crutch.
Exactly.
That's fine. You can use me as a crutch.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
I can blame you for everything.
So the story is first of all, I have way more VHS tapes than a person should admit in their lives. And so I've been trying to get rid of them all, throw them all into the garbage. And just because I wanted to see what they are before I throw them away, I've been scanning through them and digitizing moments that make me laugh or bring back memories. And I for some reason, for all these years, have had Brian Noonan live on the Oprah show. So
yeah, I don't know why you would have held on to that. I'm flattered and terrified at the same time. That somehow you're sitting in Los Angeles late at night,
right,
you know, eating some Haagen-Dazs and watching me on the Oprah show.
You know what it was? At the time, I think I was in Atlanta still when you were on that appearance.
Yeah, probably.
When we saw people who we from our hometown or from our college who had made good, we got excited about it. So like it was you and Bob Odenkirk pretty much, right?
Look how far Bob has gone and look at the career trajectories. Bob did not go on Oprah. Look at where he is. I went on Oprah. Look what's happened to me.
I don't think you should complain, my friend.
I'm not complaining at all. I'm having a wonderful time. And how are things in Los Angeles? You are a big broadcast titan yourself.
Well, sure. That's what my mother's gotten to you, apparently.
Yes, I got the card and the press release. It was very nice. Heavy paper. That's what I appreciate.
Yep, exactly. A good stock is always appreciated.
Exactly.
So, and I will just say that I have the full Oprah broadcast and more of your segment, and I actually did choose restraint and just put out a little of it. I had no idea that would stir it up quite so profoundly.
Listen, everybody's always looking for a chance to have fun at someone else's expense. And this is, it's not like you had some horror. Thankfully, there were no cameras back when we were out and about in Carbondale. So I have really nothing to worry about. This was on the Oprah show.
Well,
nothing horrible could really happen.
Say that, I don't know where it is. I haven't found it yet. But I don't know if you remember, but you and I sort of kind of half worked together. If you could call it work. We were in college.
Right.
But I hosted the tape is super embarrassing of me, so I would certainly never share my part of it.
Oh, sure. Thanks.
I hosted a Miller Lite comedy contest of some sort, and you were on the bill.
Right.
I think I have a crude videotape of that whole thing.
I think I've seen that video because our mutual friend Steve Stahl had that tape and gave it to me. So I've seen that. Yeah, that was and I mentioned that. That was my first time ever doing stand up in the student center.
I missed the early part of the show. Yes, it was in the student center, exactly. Yeah. So I have that somewhere, but like I said, you can get even with me and share me, but nobody there would care since I moved from Illinois so long ago.
Somebody would care. Your mom would care. I'd get another press release, but this one like with a cease and desist stapled to the front, so it'd be
and
a little
it would
rough.
Be on very thin fax paper.
Exactly. This one she wouldn't put a lot into. Well, John, thank you. I got to get to the news, but it's great talking to you, and thank you for posting that. It was very funny and nothing to worry about.
Nice talking to you.
All right, John. Take care. And John Bernstein, he's calling from Los Angeles, California. He's the guy who posted it. This was not a setup. He was listening. That's the beauty of the internet. You can, Esmeralda, you're having way too much fun at my expense, and I appreciate it.
It was just. I'm curious, like how long did the segment go? Like, were you guys able to really pull enough out of your fight when there's...
Oh, listen. Come on. That, you heard this this little snippet was had nothing to do with the football games on the side of the house. This was just Michael venting at Dennis over some pent-up anger from living together at American University in D.C. There was a lot... Oh, man. There's a deep well of misery that is buried in each of the Noonan brothers. And every once in a while, the lid comes off it, and then you just better stand back. It's like a lava flow of hate, and it just pours down the mountain at you. And the villagers get very frightened when they see it. But, you know, sometimes you just gotta erupt. So, all right, let's do this. Then it's news time, and so much more to do on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. We're here till 2. Then Nick DiGilio comes in. Michael's playing the music. Music is a big part of Michael's life. Music is a huge part of my life. I listen to music all the time. Love music. My daughter went through music education in school. Did you ever take music? Did you ever play an instrument, Esmeralda? Were you ever in the band or anything?
No, I wanted to be in band. I wanted to play tuba.
Ooh.
My parents were not into it.
They did not. No. They didn't think the tuba was going to make it in the Leon household.
Not at all.
Oh, that's a shame. Music education to me is very important, and I know people argue all the time. Well, listen, there's no money, and I understand there's budget crises everywhere in schools. It's hard to find the money, but I think we get rid of these programs at our peril. Vincent James is the co-founder of Keep Music Alive, and they have a big event coming up next week. I welcome you to the program. Thanks, Vincent, for joining us and staying up so late, and I appreciate you being flexible with the schedule change tonight.
Hey, Brian, how are you? Thanks so much for having me on.
I'm very excited about this because, as I said, I'm a big proponent of music education in the schools. The school that I'm teaching at now, It's a great school, and they have a wonderful music program for the kids. They only get to go about twice a week, but they still go for 35 minutes twice a week, and they're exposed to music, and they're exposed to different instruments, and I think that's really important. Explain to people who don't know, what is Keep Music Alive? What's your organization all about?
So Keep Music Alive was born about 3 years ago, and it kind of came out of me looking around to see what was happening in not all, but some of the school systems around the country where music and arts were kind of getting cut a bit more than I think we would like. And also I looked around and saw with the advent of internet music and how kids can freely stream music without parting with anything of value, I kind of saw that kids growing up today might not value music maybe the way we did when we were growing up. I mean, we had to go to the store and put our, allowance money, paper route money, or whatever it was, down the counter
right.
at the record store in order to listen to a song that we loved over and over again. And now kids can do it all the time, as much as they want, wherever they want, however they want, and which is great in one hand. But the other hand, the songwriters and the musicians, how will they be compensated? So I think there's a balance we're working towards, but I wanted to create an organization that would kind of help remind us all why music education was so important for developing kids, not just, music and the art and creativity, but for all the other subjects that music education helps develop, in the brains for kids, because you're connecting the left and right sides of the brain, when we're learning how to play music.
Mm-hmm. And that's something you hear from critics who are going to say, well, listen, we got to focus. Kids can't read. Kids can't do math. We have to focus on that. And there's no argument there. Yes, we do have to focus right. on reading and math and science and subjects like that. But
yep.
there are countless studies that show exposure to music education does help advance all the other subjects.
Yes, yes. I mean, if we grow up, learning just how to memorize tables and, learning how to read is obviously extremely important. But if you don't have the creative part, connecting, both sides of the brain, which very few activities can do as humans do, but music does, where are the future scientists, and entrepreneurs and doctors and inventors going to come from without having that creative background?
No, it's I can't express how much I agree with you. So you started last year, you started Kids Music Day, and you've got the second annual Kids Music Day is coming up Friday, October 6th, and that's taking place all across the United States and Canada. What's Kids Music Day?
So we wanted to create a vehicle, that we could reach out to the public and to media to help celebrate, kids music education. we decided to partner, you know, initially now with music schools and music retail around the country and to hold different events, whether it's like an open house, a student music performance, either in-house in their facility or in the community, or like a instrument donation drive, instrument petting zoo, open mic, family jam, community jam, different types of activities where they could celebrate kids learning how to play music, you know, within the community. And so last year we started that out, and I think there was about 85 different music schools around the country that participated. And this year I'm really pleasantly happy to say that just over 400 music schools are participating in the U.S. and Canada.
Nice, 400. And if people go to keepmusicalive.org, you have a very interactive map where you can click on your state. In Illinois, we've got four places around Chicago, that are four music places that are taking part in this and doing different activities, from gift cards to free intro lessons. One of the schools of rock in Mokena is doing an overnight lock-in. So there's a lot of different activities, and those vary throughout the country. When you started this, what was the response from music stores? And you said that there's been a lot more music stores this year getting involved, and music educators getting involved. What was the response when you first began this movement?
I think they were definitely all for it. I mean, I think they're looking for different ways that they can get involved with the community, and sometimes they're so busy running their business, the important details that they have of the business, you know, they forget, you know, to do things to reach out to the community. And so I think Kids Music Day offers them an opportunity now on an annual basis to do that. And we're actually still, you know, there's still time for music schools to connect with us, to get added to the Kids Music Day website, you know, to participate, you know, and we're helping, you know, through programs like yours tonight and throughout the country, different media outlets to promote what they're doing, you know, so people in their community have an opportunity to know that they're there and the valuable services they offer for the parents and kids.
And if people are listening, well, you're talking about music stores and things like that. If you're a music educator, you can still get involved with Kids Music Day, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can have any type of activity. You know, it doesn't have to be associated with a music school or retail. It could be something in the community where you're doing something for kids involving music, whether it's the kids playing music or you're offering a music opportunity for the kids to go and listen to music. Because as you know, playing music is obviously important, but listening to music,
yes,
and hearing live music is very important.
Yeah, it's so much different, because you mentioned, you know, online music before. And if kids are only watching performances on YouTube or things like that, you don't get the full effect. Even if it doesn't matter if you're watching pop music or classical music, whatever, you need to see it in person, because it sounds different, it looks different, the performances, everything is, the live experience,
yeah,
is so much fuller than just watching it on a screen.
No, that's so true. I mean, the energy in the room, you cannot replace that energy in the room you're feeling when you have a live musician in front of you, whether it's a soloist or it's a full orchestra playing, and you're hearing and feeling the vibration of the music in the room that you're not going to get, you know, coming out of your computer or your phone or tablet.
We mentioned Kids Music Day, which again is Friday, October 6th, so a week from today, I guess it's Friday already. Sometimes I lose track of time too, Vincent. But Keep Music Alive does another big activity later in the year too, right, with the Teach America Music, or Teach Music America.
Yes, yes. About a year before we started Kids Music Day, we started an activity in March. It's the third week in March, and we call it Teach Music America. And we partner again with these same music stores and retail, and really all musicians we encourage around the world, to offer basically a free lesson to new students, kids and adults, you know, who may be interested in learning how to play an instrument, but for some reason, you know, maybe it's the violin, maybe it's the trombone, guitar, piano, tuba, I hear in the background.
Yes, Esmeralda wanted to play tuba, and she was shut out as a child. She still bears the brunt of it today. It's a scar that she never gets past. I see her up there playing.
It's not too late.
Yeah, she plays Sousa marches up there and jumps around, but it's kind of
air tuba.
Air tuba.
When I was a kid, I wanted to play the guitar. My parents said no at the time. I wanted to play drums. They said no even louder. I said, okay, how about the trombone? So we started with the trombone and eventually picked up the guitar and piano. But, yes, in March, you know, basically it's an opportunity during that week where there literally, this past March, we had 600 music facilities around the country in Canada offering a free lesson to new students, kids and adults. So if you've ever been thinking about, you know, maybe, you know, I really kind of wanted to play something, and no one ever regrets learning how to play an instrument.
Right.
So, you know, take that shot and go out. And even some of these stores, a lot of the School of Rocks even will offer a free intro lesson year-round.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people worry that cost may be prohibitive. But I know in schools, they, you know, there's rental programs for the instruments. There are groups that help defray the costs of musical instruments and lessons. So there's ways to get involved if your child really or you really want to start learning some music.
That's right. That's right. And there are organizations that will help, you know, in different, you know, depending on the area you're at, you know, that will help you, whether you're kids or adults, you know, to learn how to play. And, you know, as much as, you know, we can bash on the internet, you know, for what it's done, you know, there's a lot of good that it brings, and that, you know, you can learn how to play instruments by tutorials, you know, online for almost any instrument you can think of under the sun.
And if you go on Craigslist, somebody's always trying to sell an instrument. May not be the best instrument, but if you're starting, you don't need the best instrument. You just need something that makes the correct sound.
That's right. That's right.
So tell me, before I let you go, I think you have another project that is where you're taking some of the money and you're giving it to some organizations. It's a book, 88 Plus Ways. Tell us about the book.
So, even before Teach Music America and Kids Music Day, just slightly before, we published a book, which is now going to be a series, 88 Plus Ways Music Change Your Life. And it's a book of inspirational music stories and quotes from around the world, mostly musicians, but some non-musicians, where they relate different experiences in their life that where music really affected them and literally changed their lives. I mean, some of them are literally tear jerkers. You'll need the box of tissues nearby. And we donate 50% of the proceeds of that book to organizations, nonprofits that put instruments and lessons into communities where the resources are lacking. And we're looking for stories for Volume 2, which is coming out next year. So any of the listeners out there have a story in their family or them or someone they know where music really touched their lives, this is something where we'd really like to hear from them, and we can share their story.
And people can go to keepmusicalive.org and submit those stories?
Yes. Yeah.
Very nice. And again, Kids Music Day is Friday, October 6th. Music can really, really help not only you, but it can help your kids immensely. It's important. It's important to expose them. Even if, unfortunately, their schools can't, you can find a way, if your child wants to get involved in music, to really help them out. Vincent, again, I appreciate you staying up late tonight and taking some time. Continued success with Keep Music Alive, and I hope the second Kids Music Day leads to a third and fourth and so on down the road.
Oh, thank you so much, Brian, for supporting Music in the Arts and having us on. We really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure, Vincent. Good luck again. Vincent James, co-founder of Keep Music Alive. Kids Music Day, Friday, October 6th. I've actually just started, I started in March taking lessons. I'm taking music lessons, Esmeralda, because I seek to be an involved human being.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so you're never too old. If I can pick up an instrument, because I truly believe my daughter plays clarinet, she played saxophone and piano. My wife plays a piano. I believe if you can play an instrument, it is a gift. And musical talent is something, and even musical curiosity, even if you never become quote unquote really good at the instrument, there's something about it that does enrich your life. And I know that sounds overly dramatic and, oh, Brian, you know, but it's true. You know, think of how you feel when you listen to music. And if you have the ability to play music, it's that much sweeter. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. Dogs in Illinois. You know, we're always struggling in Illinois. Illinois gets a bad rap. We've got a lot of problems. Budget, government, all sorts of things. But we're near the top of the list for something. I'll tell you what. And it does have to do with dogs. We'll do that after this. WGN. Oh, funky jazz. Michael Heideman, executive producing the big broadcast tonight, as he does for Patty every night. It's a pleasure to work with Michael again. He picks great music. Michael's a music guy, you know. Michael's got a podcast here on WGM Plus. It is Sound Sessions. No.
Sound Sessions, yes.
It is Sound Sessions. I always want to say Sound Opinions, but that's something else.
I've never heard of that show before.
I haven't either.
I don't know that it exists.
I think it's just me making something up out of my head.
That's another fantastic show, of course.
No,
yes.
Sound Sessions, yes. And very exciting. Your partner in Sound Sessions is moving to do different things. Are you guys still going to continue the podcast? Is this
Kevin is going to be alive in spirit here on the show, so we're going to keep his I'm really excited for him. He's moving to Los Angeles.
Yes.
And he's taking the bull by the horns. I'm very jealous too at the same time.
That's going to be a lot to move. Moving livestock cross country is very difficult. So I don't know if he's going to. Well, good luck to him.
And
everybody should go to WGN Plus and listen to Sound Sessions. Very entertaining.
You had a dabble on our show one time. We had one of your segments.
It's a good show. I'll be honest. I don't know 95% of the music you speak of, but it's still very interesting because I like to keep my thumb on the pulse of America and on the pulse of the youth, even though I don't want to get near America or the youth.
Mm-hmm,
so I like to know what to avoid, I guess, is the key. So you provide a service for people who are drawn to that music and people who want to avoid that music.
Exactly.
Either way, I could go, oh, now I know what I don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, yeah, I want to hear this, but I know there'll be a lot of guys in flannel if I go. So I probably am going to pass. I was going to say I'll buy an 8-track.
Okay.
But that dates me.
Well,
listen, vinyls come back. Maybe 8-track comes back.
That's right. That's right. I'll send you a pressed. Yes, of course.
A what?
A pressed vinyl.
Oh, pressed vinyl. Mm-hmm. Is that what they call it now? A pressed?
You know, that's what the kids do these days.
I'll tell you what, Esmeralda. Sometimes I come in here feeling all young and full of vim and vigor. And then I talk to people, and I feel like I should go get my hip replaced.
Then we just shove you off that ledge.
Shut up, Gramps. Go sit in the corner. Eat your gruel. Put your dentures in a glass. All right. We'll talk about this study in Illinois and after the news, because now I'm depressed, and I need to go yell at some kids to get off my lawn. So we'll have the news after this on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Patty on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio comes up after 2 o'clock. All right. I have to get to all these things that I promised, because Michael chastised me. He goes, what about that getting banned from stuff? You said you were going to talk about that. And now I tease this study. All right, here it is. This is very quick. This study from JustAnswer.com. It's a one-year study. Illinois ranks 3rd in something. That's pretty good. Top 3. What do we rank 3rd in? Dogs eating marijuana. That's I know, Esmeralda. I thought the same thing. So they did this study. We rank 3rd in the nation for dogs eating marijuana. They are JustAnswer.com is a website where pet owners can connect with vets and ask health-related questions about their pets. The website reviewed thousands of My Dog Ate This, What Do I Do questions from August 2015 to August 2017. Illinois beat out the state of Colorado, and they have legalized marijuana. People are leaving their edibles everywhere. Cookies, gummies, whatever it is that you eat that's laced with your pot. Well, no, our dogs eat more when it came to the My Dog Ate Marijuana question. So, including marijuana, which is a not good thing to leave around. Dogs eat everything. We all know that. If you have a dog, you can't leave anything around. I've been pretty lucky. My dogs don't usually, even when they were puppies, we were always cognizant. Now, the last one, the new one, the one we got in April, he had a cardboard box the other day. It was like a box we had put out. It was up near where the recyclable stuff was, and he must have smelled. It was a box of, like, frozen yogurt bars. It was empty, but you know, maybe he smelled the cookie dough yogurt bar in there, and he wanted to eat. So he tore that up. But that was it. A veterinarian says your dog eating marijuana can have dangerous effects. It will predispose them to have seizures, which is horrible. They'll have a light sensation. They'll have wobbly gait, and they'll kind of fall over. And we've all seen videos of horrible human beings that blow pot smoke in a dog's face. Like, look, my dog is stoned. You're an idiot. Don't do that. Could hurt your dog very much. So, but listen, we take the bad that people are letting their dogs eat pot, and we put it good. Finally, Illinois is getting some good press. We're topping some studies. You got to look for the bright side, Esmeralda. That's all I say. We're like worst budget, most corrupt politicians, more governors in jail than anywhere else. But our dogs are eating more pot than pretty much anybody in the country. So I'm going to take the good with the bad. I'm going to feel good about that, and we're going to move on. According to the study, dogs swallowing pharmaceuticals outnumbered all other 11 categories combined in this study. Who is, unless you're so high that you can't put your drugs away, perhaps like the story we had last night of the people on the mountain who were so high they couldn't climb down. Don't you, like, where do you keep your medicines? Ours are in a cabinet somewhere. The dogs can't get there because they don't have opposable thumbs, so they can't open the drawers and things. You know, I'm not going to, I don't leave open beer next to their bowls. So they're like, oh, I could have water. Ooh, or an Oktoberfest. That would be terrific. Get my dogs all hammered. Put your stuff away. What kind of idiots are doing that? Probably the people who are getting banned from everything. How'd you like that segue? Move right into the next topic. Trying to get all these out of the way so I don't get yelled at by Michael. All right, we all use apps. Do you use Uber or OpenTable or any of these apps, Esmeralda? Sure you do.
Oh, for sure.
Sure. What ones do you use, if you don't mind me asking? If it's not too personal. If it is, just answer in code.
I use Lyft.
Okay.
Are they with specific apps? Or
yeah, like
I got a
do you Grubhub? Do you use Venmo? What do you use?
Yeah,
all of those?
I use all those. I just downloaded the Target app.
Oh.
I downloaded a rebate app.
Look at you.
Yeah, make me some money.
There you go. Make that Target and rebate money. 78 cents at a time. Esmeralda's building her fortune.
It's more than I had before.
That's right. 401ks be damned. Get on the apps. Save a little cash. Michael, you a big app guy? Of course you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I saw what you did there. Mm-hmm. Well, we're all using these apps. I use some of the rideshare app, both of them actually. I don't do Yelp and stuff. I do, but I do it more on the computer than on my phone, just because I hate trying to type on the phone. But you can get banned from all these apps. There's different ways. There are ways to get banned from everything. Let's start with Uber. Users make awkward conversation in Uber. They can swipe through Tinder while they ride. They just cannot have relations in the car. That will get you banned. As a reminder, Uber has a no sex rule. Just in case you were wondering, hey, you know, we're going out on a date. Let's take an Uber. And reenact that scene from No Way Out. I'll be Kevin Costner, you be Sean Young, and the poor Uber guy or girl who's just trying to, you know, doing their side hustle, as the kids like to say. That's another term the kids like to say. The side hustle. We're going to give them a little show. So on its website, the company says no sex, noting that users shouldn't touch or flirt with other people in the car. I think that's going to be up to the discretion of your puritanical driver. My girlfriend is holding my hand. Get out! You're banned! Or some would be probably more lenient. All right, OpenTable. That's where you make reservations. I've used that before. Ever use that, Esmeralda?
I haven't downloaded the app. I've used it online.
Yeah, I've used it online.
I've used it on a computer, yeah.
So to get banned from OpenTable, you need to ditch your reservation at the last minute. That will get you banned. Because you've changed your plans and you just blow off your reservation. If you're a no-show four times in a year, they ban you from OpenTable. So, which makes sense. They're holding those tables for somebody else. How hard is it to cancel a reservation?
Right. There's some now that they charge you. They're OpenTable-like.
Right.
But they charge you to make the reservation.
And then if you don't show up, you lose it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get it? Now, do they credit that to your bill or is that just a service fee?
It might be a service fee.
Okay. Well, listen, if you're going to use, we all have to pay convenience fees.
Right. Well, it's also the restaurants have to pay.
Yes, to use the service.
Right. So when people cancel, that's, you know, money out of their pocket.
And they're losing, it's money out of their pocket to the service. It's money out of their pocket because they've held that table for you when you could have taken 12 seconds and punched in cancel.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back to your app, hit cancel, and you're done. No big deal. It's just being, I don't know, thoughtful of other
courteous.
People. Courteous. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Esmeralda. Grubhub. If you do not answer the door when Grubhub comes, they will ban you. Sure. If you do this repeatedly. So the company says it is looking to root out fraudulent activity, like me ordering 1,000 pizzas for Michael, which I did last week. I'm sorry. I thought you liked pizza. Chances are you can get your account reinstated, though. You'll just have to explain that you left your delivery person or stranded outside because you were passed out in your living room, according to this. Venmo. That's the money transfer thing, right? That's the one,
yes,
where you transfer money. I'm skeptical. My daughter has used it or has had friends Venmo her. Have you guys used it? Are you experienced with this? It sounds
iffy. Yeah.
Yeah?
I think it sounds shady, to be honest.
Yeah. Did it work for you, Esmeralda?
Yeah, it works perfectly fine. I actually just did my good deed for the week, and I donated some money to a friend
who's doing
trips to Costco to do donations for the Puerto Rico and Mexico funds.
Oh, that's very good.
And so she's like, if you can be lazy, just give me the money and I'll go.
There you go.
So you just Venmo.
Wow. That's a whole different service.
That's a different app.
How do you get banned from that one?
Well, I have a lot of different ways, but we probably shouldn't discuss. We'll discuss them after.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to get banned from. If you get banned from Venmo.
You've been doing some bad things.
Wow. You are a horrible, horrible human being. The fact, one, that you downloaded it, you're probably on your way to being horrible.
Well, you know,
don't judge.
Whatever. You know, let people live.
That's true. And it beats, you know what? It's probably safer than going out and finding a regular hoe. You just have one just delivered right to your house through
the
app. Maybe they're screened better. I don't know. So I'm sorry, Esmeralda. Back to the Venmo.
But no, I haven't, I haven't seen her in a while. And so this is perfect. You just send the money through this app and done. She gets it.
So how do you cash it in?
So it goes through you set it up. I think you can do credit card or a banking account. And then so they take the money out of that and then it gets sent to their choice of whatever they have attached to the app.
How much do you lose? Let's say I owe you
$20.
It's free.
Mm-hmm.
So I send you the 20 to your account and it goes in wherever you have it, your credit card or your bank account.
It goes to the app and then you have to take it out to get it sent to where you want it to. It's like PayPal. I think PayPal actually owns Venmo.
All right. And see, I have a PayPal account that I've gotten some money through, but it was always a hassle trying to figure out how to get. I think I have money sitting in there that I've never touched. That's my retirement fund. Like 28 bucks in a PayPal account.
Let's hope they don't go out of business.
Fingers crossed, Esmeralda. Your lips to God's ears. All right, we have a couple more of these. I know you're probably thinking, how do I get banned from Tinder? I'll tell you that after. And an app I've never heard of. We'll get to that. But we've got to do this first. So we'll finish up this list, and then we'll have Tell Me Something Good, right? And then we'll go home. Is that how it's going to work? That's exactly how it's going to work, because the foot has spoken.
Tell me something.
Oh, are we jumping right into that now?
Tell me that you love me, yeah.
Oh, I know. I thought we were finishing this list. I got two more. It's getting banned from Tinder. Because I'm guessing you guys don't use Tinder. No.
I did.
Did you?
I have.
Did it work?
No.
See, I don't. Again.
Sometimes.
Some of these things came way past my time when I would need them. So it would work sometimes.
Right.
Okay. And that's the right.
And that's nothing against the app itself.
It's against the people who are on
there. Right.
All right. So they're not. Are you on Tinder, Michael?
No comment on that one, but I've definitely
left
used
swipe.
It before. I'm more of a Bumble guy, to be honest.
What's it? Is that the same kind of thing?
Yeah,
I've heard of it.
The girls choose first, so they make the first move.
Well, see, you're a good-looking guy. You can afford to go on Bumble and leave it up to the ladies.
Yeah,
Some derelicts need to go on Tinder. And, oh, man, I just hope anybody will pick me. Just
please,
swipe me.
Swipe me.
And I mean that in the most disgusting way you can imagine. Just swipe me. Left, right, I don't care what hand. Doesn't matter. Well, so you can't get banned from Tinder. I would imagine it would be pretty hard. But if you ask for money, that's how you can get banned from Tinder. Tinder doesn't want people asking for cash. Even doing it as a joke can get you banned. Earlier in the year, a 20-year-old woman from St. Louis asked dudes to, quote, send her $5 and see what happens. When guys would PayPal her the money, she'd simply unmatch with them. Oh, rude. The whole point was to expose how disgusting guys can be online. That's what she told BuzzFeed. She said that 1 out of 5 guys who asked about her profile sent her money. I know why it means guys are disgusting. Because now we're all trying to create Venmo. We're very two nights here with you guys, and I have a sitcom that I have to write and an app that I need to develop.
I mean, Dadnark writes itself.
Well, Dadnark does write itself. We just have to file the copyrights and, you know, get all that in. But now app development for Venho, that's first I have
Which you could do a whole tie-in with Dadnark and Venho.
I don't know if Dadnark could raid Venho. You know,
that's
Dadnark
true. I mean, they would get a thing on the show. I mean, it wouldn't be in the best of light, but you know.
Right. So product placement.
All publicity.
Subliminal advertising.
That's right. Hey, what are you doing, Bob? I'm on Venho. Oh, no. Here's Narkdad or Dadnark.
Available on all formats.
Every platform you can get Venho. All right. So that just don't be a jerk. That's pretty much how not to get banned from anything. Don't be a jerk. On Yelp, don't tell long, rambling stories that have nothing to do with a consumer experience. That will get you banned. So there's another way to get banned. All right. Do you want to hit the music again? Let's hit the music again. There we go.
Tell me something good.
All right. This is every night on the Patty Vasquez Show. Pretty late. They try to get some good news to wrap up the evening or the morning, whatever you like to call it. It's dark. I call it night. I know technically it's the morning, but, you know, I'm not worried about that. All right. I like to start with the other people because, you know, what the heck. Michael, do you have anything good today? I hope you do.
Yes, I do. Today was actually a really, really good day. It was kind of a busy week. My parents are coming into town, so I'm very excited to see them. And that's my good thing for this weekend.
Nice.
Yes.
So are you frantically cleaning your place for your parents' visit?
How did you know? I have a stack of laundry that I haven't even touched on one specific chair, and now it just looks like a person is sitting there made out of clothes. So I got to do that before they come into town.
See, of course you do. And when I was your age and my parents were coming to visit, I would have to do the same thing. I know my daughter took great pride last year when we were coming. I cleaned my dorm room, but now she's in a house, so I'm wondering when we go down how the house will look. But,
it's quite a feat, like, to clean your apartment or your house.
Oh, sure, especially because your parents are coming, and you know your parents are going to look around and go, I didn't raise you to live in squalor.
But it's easier in a house because there's more areas to hide
right.
things in.
Right, exactly. You clean the bathroom, you clean the living room.
Just throw things in the tub.
And maybe the kitchen, and everything else is just like, oh, don't go in the bedroom. You don't want to see what happens.
That's my private area.
That's my private. Wow, that just made me uncomfortable. I understood exactly what you meant. I've heard that statement from women before, and I'm not comfortable with hearing it at this time of the morning. Good. And is your brother practicing now for the big pizza eating contest? What is he doing this week to prepare?
So this week I told him that he should change his diet to all lettuce-based things and cut out carbs completely.
Oh.
And then I asked him what he ate this morning, and he said he ate a Big Mac, so he's not really following that diet.
He's not following your... Now, did you read that somewhere, or is this just your own competitive eating thoughts?
Well, I thought if he starved himself enough from pizza, which is so, so good,
yes.
that he would crave it by the end of the week.
That
and
makes sense.
I think he had pizza like three times this week already, so
oh,
we'll
no.
see what he does.
Hmm. Well, good luck to him. I'd like to get an update on that. Esmeralda, tell me something good.
I had my flamenco class, which is fun to do.
Wow.
I do it every Thursday. We're practicing for the big showcase in December, where I hope I don't make a fool of myself. And then I had dinner at Bell Kitchen and Bar, which is over at Belmont and California. Everyone should go there. They do Midwest style stuff. So they got horseshoe. I had a pork tenderloin sandwich.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, no, it's really delicious. So go there and eat all the food.
It's called the Bell?
Bell, yeah.
Oh, just Bell.
B'EL.
Okay.
But it's because it's on Belmont.
Nice.
And it's like Belmont Elston, California. So Bell.
How long have you been taking flamenco lessons?
A few months now.
That's cool.
Yeah, like maybe since spring.
Is it very difficult? It
Not
seems
really.
Like it would be complicated.
It's a lot of just stomping. The more difficult part is to have like a finesse to it, which I still look very much like just a robot trying to dance. Because you have a lot of arm movements and things like that, and it's supposed to make you look very fancy. And I just kind of like, you can hear my joints creaking as I'm doing everything.
You don't make those sounds when you flamenco dance, do you?
There's moments where we're doing stuff and I'm like, you hear me in the corner.
All right. Well, those are both very good things. I'm going to do two quick ones first. A first grader ran up and hugged me when he saw me this morning because he was so excited that I was back.
Aww.
So thanks to Alonzo for making me feel good at 8 o'clock this morning. He ran up. He barely comes past my knee. Sweet kitten gave me a big hug. So that was very nice. And so that made me feel good. And then I get a call from my daughter at lunch, and she got another internship. She just found out today that she got a remote internship with a production company in Los Angeles. So she will be doing script stuff for them, but she gets to do it from Tulane. So,
jeez, taking over the world.
So I'm very proud of her and happy about that. And she's because of that, now she's going to New York for some, I don't know, some networking thing before. So she's going to New York twice in the next few months.
Working it out.
She is. She's laying the groundwork to be successful. That's what, you know, you always hope your kids will work very hard and be successful, because quite frankly, nobody else is going to take care of me in my old age. People are bailing from me now, and I'm, you know, still relatively healthy and mobile. So I'm counting on her to be a big success so she can put me somewhere comfortable.
And that PayPal money.
That's right. That's true. I got my PayPal money. So that's going to be good. Got that going. So I've got everything worked out. My daughter's going to be a big success, and I've got like $28 in PayPal. So nobody cry for me, Argentina.